Hey everyone, and thanks for tuning in again live. Today is Sunday, November 20th, and it is 1 p.m. And I am your host, Jason Leeser. And if this is working for you, please let us know in the comments and please tag a friend who loves tattoos. And welcome to Guy Ageson's Reinventing the Tattoo Community, where tattooers, apprentices, collectors, and the curious are encouraged to join in these live streams, real world events, to share and inspire and ultimately create better art and tattoos together. We beam out nearly every day and with your help have evolved into a quality network of amazing live and on-demand tattoo and art shows that have all been receiving rave reviews. You can always find Reinventing the Tattoo in either one of the app stores, the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, as well as our Reinventing the Tattoo YouTube channel, our Reinventing the Tattoo Roku channel, which has 12 to 15 different shows going on at any given time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can also find us in all of the major podcast directories, such as Apple and Spotify. But no matter where you were watching live or on demand or listening in, you can always get the latest and greatest information at www.reinventingthetattoo.com. You can always try it out for free. We've got a number of sample webinars from the Reinventing the Tattoo canon that you can watch for free. We've got some advice from Guy Ageson about goals and goal setting. We also have a comprehensive tattoo history course from Jay Brown, all for free. You can always find the event schedule, which features a full weekly and special event live stream detail calendar. You can also find a link out to the Reinventing 24/7 channel, which is much like the Roku channel. It's got 13 different shows playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we also offer a number of different professional development courses from over 20 world-class tattoo artists, including Bob Tyrell, all available at reinventingthetattoo.com. Once again, if this is working for you, please let us know in the comments and in the chat, and please tag a friend who loves tattoos. Or tag a friend that, you know, maybe is interested in getting started and becoming a tattoo artist. As always, we always like to encourage people to tune in to some of our weekly staple shows, starting on Sundays at 1 p.m. with me, Jason Leeser. And that's followed on Mondays at 9 a.m. with Drawing for Tattooers with James Wisdom, where we go through and we discuss and tackle some of the basic drawing techniques and strategies. That's followed on Mondays at 11 a.m. with the Tattoo Weekly Show, hosted by Lauren Gregory, Jake Meeks, and Gabe Ripley. And in that show, we go through and we discuss, you know, some of the current tattoo events and current tattoo trends and, you know, what's happening in the world of tattoo. Mondays at 5 p.m., we have Let's Talk About Feelings with Robbie Ripple. You know, feelings are one of those undiscussed topics in the tattoo world. So it's always nice to go through and have a place to go through and discuss some things there. And as well, at Mondays at 9 p.m., we have a subscriber exclusive drawing group. Currently, Guy is actually out on leave. So Sandy McAndrew has been taking over for that. So feel free to tune in Mondays at 9 p.m. for a subscriber exclusive drawing group with Sandy McAndrew. Tuesdays at 10 a.m., we have the Tuesday Feels drawing group with Ricardo Certivan. And Wednesdays at 1 p.m., we have the Tattoo Now show with Gabe Ripley. And Thursdays at 6, ending the week, we have the Tattoo Collecting 101 podcast with Fawn Baker. As always, I would like to go through and thank some of our sponsors and some of the people that make these shows happen, starting off with worldtattooevents.com. This is the world's largest, most comprehensive resource for tattoo events worldwide. They're constantly keeping everything up to date. As we know, living in this post-pandemic world, things are still kind of getting rescheduled and pushed around like crazy. So for the latest and greatest convention or event information coming to a town near you or coming to a town that you want to visit, which is one of the reasons why I'm on there all the time, you can always take a look at worldtattooevents.com. Next, we have DLize Pro, also known as Dermalize in the rest of the world. Protect your art. if you're still using plastic wrap to wrap your tattoos, it's probably time to step your game up. DLize Pro was designed by wound care specialists specifically designed to heal tattoos. You cannot go wrong with it. It's great. I've used it quite a few times with amazing results each time. And that's DLize Pro. Next, we have TattooNow.com, technology for tattooers. The leading edge in professional development, management, and digital tools for tattooers of all levels. They're constantly keeping everything upgraded. And if I were you, I would constantly keep things upgraded as well. They're also extremely competitive with any CRM, mailing list, or scheduling software currently available. So feel free to take a look at Tattoo Now for the leading edge in tattoo technology for tattooers. And of course, this wouldn't be reinventing the tattoo without a very personal and professional thank you from the bottom of my heart to Guy Aitchison. He is the founder and inspiration behind Reinventing the Tattoo. Go to GuyAitchison.com where you can pick up a copy of his biomech encyclopedias, some of his DVDs. He's got some custom coil machines for sale, some original oil paintings, as well as countless fine art prints, all for sale at GuyAitchison.com. Would also like to give a very quick shout out to two of our affiliates, The Apprenticeship Diaries with Amy Nichols. For people that are looking to get a tattoo apprenticeship, this is the place to go for that kind of information. It will give you a heads up on, you know, what to expect, what to look for, and what things could generally be like. And the Fireside Tattoo Network with Jake Meeks, another great alternative source of tattoo information, which features, you know, interviews and commentary and different topics from legendary tattoo artists all around the world. So take a look at the Fireside Tattoo Network. As always, we always ask if you like today's show, go through and make sure to hit that like and subscribe button and to make sure to post a positive review on our channel and help us get the word out. We're always looking to try to push our presence and help get other people involved. So if you know of a tattoo artist or if you know of someone that is a tattoo enthusiast that is looking to get more information on what it might be like to be a tattooer, feel free to send them a link to these videos and tell them that we're always looking for more people to join. As always, if you would like to host a Reinventing the Tattoo event or become a sponsor of the community, or maybe you're looking for a fine art critique, you can always email management@reinventingthetattoo.com and we will be happy to get back to you just as soon as we possibly can. And we've got a number of people joining us today. And let's see more. Start. There we go. What's going on, Patrick?
Nothing much, dude. Long time no see.
I know. How have you been?
Been good. Fucking went over to another shop. Things just didn't work out. So I'm back at my old shop, thankfully.
Well, you never know until you try, man. You really don't.
Yeah. And it was a great learning experience, you know?
Absolutely. You know, there's always the old adage that the grass is never greener on the other side of the fence, but you never really know unless you look. You know, so
completely
that's something
agree.
I'm a huge advocate of that, you know, because if you're not even gandering over at what's on the other side of the fence, how are you going to know that the grass isn't greener?
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Is that the shark that you had been working on forever? All right.
Well, I took like a 3-month break because I just looked at it and wanted to shoot myself every time.
Well, yeah, you're also painting like a 3-foot painting with like a size 0 brush, right?
It was with these two guys right here, two little markers, not even brushes, they're brush
dear
tip.
Lord.
But... Oh god. That wow. Looks sick though. It's
hell
so
yeah,
good.
Dude. Love the texture in it, man.
Love
That's
it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Appreciate that a lot.
And I like what you did with the water too in the background.
It's I was going to pull that off.
Yeah, it's definitely got that definitive kind of flow to it. But I really like what you did, leaving it kind of rough and kind of loose up, especially up in that corner. Really contrast all that really super tight rendering that you did in the shark itself.
Cool. Thank you very much. I plan on doing like another, probably a gloss black outline around like the whole outside to kind of give it some more definition as well.
I'd say if it's at all possible, and you know, depending on the medium that you're working with, this might not be possible. But I'd say drag some of that teal into those really super dark black areas back by the tail fin.
Do some more down here.
Bring some of that down there. And I mean, even towards the top edge of the shark itself, man, bring some of that teal, like that muted, like dirty teal, bring that down this? And like,
or this,
that,
this. All right. Yeah. Bring that down here. Have some coming from the bottom.
No, right again. Above the shark, right above the shark, like right along the top edge. Just do like a single line of it going around the border of the top.
Oh,
of the shark.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay. That's going to help create the separation between that shark and that black.
Okay.
And I think it's really going to help that stand out against that darker area.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. I've been using Rust-Oleum to do all the color work, actually.
No shit.
Because what I'll do is I'll take Rusto and then I'll just pour it, or I'll spray it into the corner of the tops.
Right.
I can do two colors on each one, and then I can just go use my brush, and I got a fuckload of colors then.
There you go, man. That's what I love about talking to other tattooers, man. The ingenuity that's available and the way that everyone's got their own little hacks for like how they do things, you know?
Absolutely. I love hearing about all the different ways to do stuff.
You know, as Amber actually pointed out more than a few times, tattooers are known for reappropriating different things and like stealing stuff for different purposes to fit our own needs. You know,
absolutely.
And it works like a charm every time. I mean, look at tattoo foot switches. Used to be telegraph keys, right? So I think it's awesome just the way that everyone kind of goes through and has their own little hacks for things. But speaking of hacks, today we're going to go through, and today's subject is actually discussing convention hacks.
Nice.
Right? Because, I mean, things are starting to open up a little bit more, maybe not completely, but a little bit more. And I've been getting a lot of questions from a lot of different people about traveling, what to do, banners, you know, packing for different things to make sure that you don't overpack, but you don't underpack, you know, different ways to get things organized and to get things like more or less just like streamlined, I guess, for efficiency. But a lot of it ultimately kind of depends, believe it or not, on what your setup is like. And in my opinion, it also comes down to, you know, are you going more appointment-based at shows or are you going for walk-ups? Because each one of those is going to have a completely different kind of like setup scenario. Obviously, if you're doing more like walk-up type stuff, you're going to want to prepare for whatever kind of like walk-up designs you have available. So just keep that in mind. Oh, trying to get this camera oriented correctly. Let's see if I can just swing that. Sorry, guys, I'm having some camera issues. There we go. I'll lock that in. So one thing that I've always found helpful, and it was a little piece of advice I was given very early on as I was just starting out doing shows. You are not, and I don't care who you are. I don't care how quickly you tattoo, how efficiently you tattoo. I don't care what style you tattoo in or what you're doing, you are not going to end up doing more than 5 tattoos a day. I can almost guarantee it. Right. And that's at the absolute maximum, you know, even if you're, I mean, unless you're doing like tiny little nickel size tattoos, but yeah, even still, you know, you could bang out, you know, at a convention. I know my convention rates are actually a bit higher than they normally are at the studio to help offset the cost of, you know, travel expenses and stuff like that. But I mean, still, even if you're doing nickel size tattoos at $100 a piece, that's pretty good, right? But most people out there are not trying to do tiny little nickel size tattoos, you know, at a tattoo convention. Well, no one that I've met, actually. You know, maybe there are certain people out there that are. More power to you, by the way, if that's what you enjoy doing. I always like to bring like baseball size designs, sometimes softball size, just because that's something I know I can execute in one session that's not going to take me all day. No matter how detailed it is, I find that that's usually a pretty good size for me to work. And if I can do 2 to 3 of those a day, I'm more than happy. Now, that being said, what I always like to try to explain to people is that if you do, say you prefer to overpack to have extra stuff with you just in case, which is fine, which is more than fine, right? Plan on tattooing 5 tattoos a day if you're like soft baseball size, right? I can guarantee you by the end of the weekend, you will have stuff left over and you will not have to buy any more supplies. I can almost guarantee that 100%. Obviously, you know, it kind of depends on, you know, how things go and all that stuff. But typically speaking, I like to pack and prepare for anywhere from 3 to 5 tattoos a day. You know, if the show times and the days are a little bit shorter, then I'll prepare for, say, maybe 3 tattoos a day. If the show times are a little bit longer, I know certain villain art shows have like 12-hour days or 13-hour days. Okay, cool. If I'm really trying to bust my butt, yeah, I'll plan for 5 tattoos for that period of time, right? That not only gives me enough time to walk around, get up, stretch every now and then, get out of my booth for a little bit, but it allows me to go through and accurately pack for that show based on those time constraints. It's just something that I found is really, really helpful. So I say estimate on that. That means, you know, if you like to work with 3 line weights on every tattoo, which is something I try to do, then that means I'm going to need, say I'm sticking with like a tight 5, a tight 9, and then like a loose 11, right? For every tattoo that I have planned on doing. Cool. That means I know if I plan on doing 3 tattoos a day, then that means I'm going to need at least three of those per day. That means I need a total of, you know, 9 straight or loose 11s. I'm going to need 9 tight liners. I'm going to need 9 tight 5s. You know, then maybe I'll use a 7 mag and an 11 mag and a 15 mag, right? So I'm going to need 9 of each of those, right? So right there, you can go through and you can say to yourself, all right, so if I need 9 of each of these, that's going to be, you know, this many boxes. And I always like to have different boxes for different things of different cartridges. So I'll pack 2 to 3 boxes and, you know, save your empty boxes of cartridges. They make great traveling, like traveling cases for cartridges, because that's what's in them anyway. So I figure why not? I'll reuse them. Hell yeah. Keeps everything organized. And I'll do like a layer or two of, you know, tight 5s, and then I'll do a layer or two of tight 9s, and then I'll do a layer or two of tight 11s, right? And if they don't all fit in one box, that's fine. It's not a big deal. you know, maybe I'll throw in some tight threes, right? So I'll have threes and fives and half of my tight nines in one box. And then I'll have half of my tight nines and straight 11s and maybe some straight 14s in another box. Who knows? But plan on doing, you know, estimating on three tattoos a day, 3 to 5. And that'll give you a pretty good estimate on what you need to pack as far as your supplies go. Now, some artists like to go out there and they like to do only black and gray stuff at conventions because it cuts down on packing for travel, right? Because instead of packing like a little bit of every single color you have, well, now all you have to do is pack your blacks, your gray washes, and your whites, right? That'll significantly cut down on weight. And weight is a big thing, especially if you plan on traveling internationally. Weight is going to be the bane of your existence. I can remember 3 shows specifically where as I was checking my luggage, getting ready to check into my flight and everything, I actually had to go through and rearrange some stuff and move some stuff around, put some stuff in my carry-on, put some stuff in my, wherever, you know, maybe in a different case or whatnot, or hide some stuff in my massage table case or my massage table bag, just because my actual travel case itself was overweight, right? So to help avoid that and help avoid weight restrictions and limitations, because trust me, the last thing you want to do is end up with a $70 surcharge because you can't move anything else around. And I've been there too, and that was terrible, because that's not just $70 one way. That's $70 one, or that's not just $70 total. That's $70 one way. So that's an extra $140 that you're spending on, you know, your stuff. To me, that's just kind of like throwing money, you know, in the trash. So always make sure that you have a little bit of room left in your travel case. I prefer the Pelican Air. I believe it's the 615 travel case. I find that I can usually fit my travel armrest, all of the disposable stuff I need, as well as business cards, a box of gloves, brand new box of gloves, because I'm very particular about the gloves that I use. Some call me bougie for that, which is fine, but
I'm the same way, so I get that.
Yeah, I'm just very particular. I like certain gloves. I don't like other gloves, and I'm going to bring my own because I don't know if the venue I'm at is going to have the types of gloves that I prefer to use for sale. So, you know, if there's any particulars, things that you're really adamant about, like, I don't know if they're going to sell this, so I'm just going to bring my own, fine. Do that. Just know this. If that's what you plan on doing, which is, once again, totally fine, that's your prerogative, be able to adapt to what's going on, right? So say you have someone that comes in that, you know, they see like a baseball or a softball size design, but they're willing to book out all day with you at a show to do a half sleeve of that same design. They just want it a bit bigger, right? Okay, well, number one, that's going to run you a lot of fucking money. But number two, I'm going to have to go and get some supplies because I'm not prepared to do anything that big. So I'm going to go over to whatever vendor is available and I'm going to pick up, you know, some 23 mags or, you know, 14 liners or whatever I need. But that brings me to another point. Anything disposable that you may need, buy at the show. Number one, you're supporting a local vendor that way. And that shows like it goes a long way with vendors. If you're working at a show and they're like the only vendor there and they're a local vendor and, you know, maybe they're not doing too well business-wise because everyone's ordering from a lot of these bigger companies. Go through and support the local vendor, you know? Buy a box of gloves, buy, you know, some plastic bags or some barrier film or rinse cup cleanup or whatever. You know, go through and support these local vendors, man. Small local vendors are like the lifeblood of the tattoo supply industry.
Question.
Answer. 23.
Would you, I believe it's 42, but would you be willing to go over all of the things that you can normally find at the convention itself and also what else you can save on packing by going to just, you know, stores, i.e. razors, paper towels?
So most conventions out there will provide at least one roll of paper towels to every table or booth at the show. Most of them. Those conventions out there that do not supply at least one roll of paper towels to each table at a show, number one, don't ever work at that show ever again because they really don't understand tattooing. But number two, you can always find a local place. I've gone to bodegas in Puerto Rico before trying to find paper towels just to make sure that my booth mate and I had more than enough to last the weekend, right? And, you know, going out, trying to find a bodega at 2 o'clock in the morning in, you know, downtown Puerto Rico is not necessarily a difficult thing to do because they are everywhere, which is awesome. But finding some that actually had like Bounty paper towels, that was the trick.
About my paper towels too.
I mean, I'll use whatever brand is available. I worked at a show over in Europe and they had never heard of Bounty paper towels. You know, and if they haven't heard of it, then how are they supposed to keep it on hand? How are they supposed to know about it? But you know, it ends up being one of those situations where if you are particular about what you prefer to use, bring your own. Like if you want to use blue shop towels, bring your own or come and find me at my booth, wherever I am at whatever show, I will have a roll of blue shop towels available almost at any given time. So if you need a few, tear a few off, you know, go do your tattoo and just call it a day, you know. Not saying come up to me every time you need more, but, you know, use them sparingly, cut them in quarters or halves or, you know, dime size pieces if you need to stretch them out, make them last. I was joking about that, by the way. Don't ever try to tattoo using a dime sized piece of paper towel. That's just absolutely asinine. Nothing productive will come of that. You'll just waste time cutting things into those tiny little squares. You know, if you like blue shop towels, bring blue shop towels, because I don't know of convention promoters that have those on hand. You know, most will provide Bounty, which is like industry standard. Some out there will provide MD wipeouts, like they will have those for sale at different, you know, vendors. And anyone that's used MD wipeouts before, highly recommend them for traveling. Because they come in like a completely sealed package, right? So that means that you can go through and you don't have to worry about them getting contaminated. And there's like 10 per pack. So they're super easy to pack. So you can always use those and bring those if you want. They're also super absorbent, which makes them absolutely awesome. So they're just as absorbent and just as tough as blue shop towels. They're also tear resistant and lint free, which is why I like blue shop towels, even though blue shop towels are not tear resistant, but whatever. That'll be a cool one. But yeah, so I would say do that. If you can get away with it, try to bring as few plastic disposable things as possible, right? So forget sandwich bags. Don't bother. You don't need them anyway. Don't bother bringing them. And yes, I do actually mean that when I say that, because I just wrap everything up using plastic wrap. Number one, that way I don't have any kind of an open end that I have to like try to figure out how to tape down. I just wrap my squirt bottles. I wrap those up in plastic wrap. I'll wrap anything else I need to in plastic wrap. Just because for me, it works a lot easier that way. And it cuts down on the number of things I have to bring with me. If you have the option to work wireless, go wireless. It cuts down on stuff you have to wrap up. It cuts down on stuff you have to bring with you. It cuts down on a lot of things. And Medusa, I know we're going to be working at the Puerto Rico show. I don't know if you have battery packs or if you're going wireless or what. If you weren't planning on it, you can always, I'll bring critical battery packs, which I highly recommend, by the way, for their longevity. They kick ass. But if you wanted to go wireless, go wireless. It cuts down on stuff you have to wrap. It cuts down on stuff you have to pack up. It really makes things a lot easier for as far as travel is concerned.
Yeah, I'm wireless.
Okay, cool. If you are not wireless and you still use a power supply, clip cord, and foot switch, I'm sorry. Because like,
I just went wireless last month. It's like the most amazing thing. I can't believe I waited so long.
Then you know what? If you're still using a power supply, clip cord, and foot switch, and a coil machine at a convention, do me a favor and ask Thomas Edison to actually invent something new. Because like, I'm sorry, man, but like, those times are gone.
I was surprised how many people I saw using coil machines at the Atlantic City convention.
True, true. And there are a lot of people out there, more power to them, that are, you know, loyal to the coil. And I hate using that phrase, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, if that's what they like and that's what works, more power to them. I mean, one of the best portrait artists I know still uses a couple of Carl Hedgepath coil machines. And she is absolutely incredible. Jamie Mahood, if anyone's curious as to who. She's down in Texas, and she does some of the most unreal black and gray work you have ever seen. And it's all like portraiture. She does almost strictly nothing but portraits. But these are portraits that are absolutely flawless. I mean, the smoothest black and gray blends you will ever find. More power to her. If that's what works for her, great.
Yep.
That's not something that I usually do. It's not something I usually enjoy using anymore, just because I don't think my wrist can take it anymore. But I mean, hey, if that's what you want to do and that's what you want to use, go for it. By all means. Where's a good, sorry, I'm trying to think up different ideas for background. Well, maybe I'll do like a little sparrow or something. I'm trying to think up background designs for this, tattoo machine, like just tiny, tiny little super light jammers, like little, almost like watermark kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking like a traditional rose, maybe like a little old school sparrow or something, maybe like a little dagger. Ooh, I should do like an old, maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll do like an old tattoo tube. Sorry, sidetracked. ADD sucks. But yeah, I forget what I was talking about. But yeah, try to cut down on as much as you can. because at the end of the day, you really don't need to bring too much with you. Bring your colors, you know, if you're working in colors, but bring a limited palette, right? Bring the colors necessary to make whatever you need to make. You know, bring, like, I try to not bring anything more than two of each tone. You know, bring like a light red and a dark red. Bring a, you know, a golden yellow and a bright yellow. Bring a, you know, a light, like super vibrant, like neon green, and bring, you know, a traditional, like standard straight green. Bring a couple of browns, couple of blues, maybe some teals, and, you know, purples, pinks, whatever. But try not to bring any more than like two or three of each, because there's a pretty good chance you're not going to be using 19 different colors in one tattoo. And if you need a specific color, or you know of a specific color that is available, that you really want to use for that whatever tattoo that you're doing, go and buy it. Try it out and take it from there. You know, but as far as like packing, yeah, the fewer pigments you bring, the better. Because let me tell you this, wrapping that shit up is an absolute bitch for trying.
Do you wrap every single one with Saran wrap?
I am of the old school fashion. I do wrap. I will unscrew the lid and put a piece of, I actually like to use like Ziploc bags, if at all possible. I'll cut the zip top off of it and I'll cut it along the sides because it's thicker plastic. So I'll get a tighter seal on the top and I'll cut off like strips of that, put it over the top of the bottle, right? And then screw that cap back down.
Okay.
So that way it's, I know that all of that plastic is in those threads. It's going to create a tighter seal to prevent anything from like really exploding.
Yeah.
And then I'll take plastic wrap on the outside of the bottle and I'll go around that once or twice as well, just to make sure that that cap doesn't move at all. And then what I'll do is I'll take like two or three bottles and I'll put those in a Ziploc bag and I'll put that Ziploc bag inside another bag. So I'm like multiple layers of
protection,
neurotic. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want this shit to explode and get all over all of my stuff.
Grouping them with same color family. Absolutely. How do you feel about the ink cap method?
So I do like the ink cap method. I think it's kind of tricky though, because you have to get like the right size ink caps to fit. That method actually works phenomenally well. I just don't necessarily have the right size ink caps to do that with. A lot of the ink caps that the studio I work at buys are like the stable ink caps, so they've got like the bigger base and not like the lip, not like the traditional pipe caps.
Yeah, it does have to be this certain kind.
And not only does it have to be a certain kind, that kind and that size of ink cap can vary based on the brand of pigment and the opening at the top of the bottle, right? Like chromas have a different size opening than, say, industry inks, than raw pigments, than eternal, right? So, you know, just be careful of that. So that's part of the reason why I started using the plastic wrap method. I was just tired of dicking around and trying to figure out like, okay, well, if I order 100 of these, then I also need 100 of these, and then I need 100 of these, just so that I can use like 10 out of each bag. You know what I mean? To me, it's almost pointless. Almost, not completely, just almost. So, I mean, that's just one of the methods that I found works really, really well. Other people have different strategies. I know for the Puerto Rico convention coming up, I'm actually planning on going through, and I actually, you know, got myself a little gift and I picked up a travel set from one of the brands that I use regularly. And I'm not opening that up until the day of the show, because if I don't use those, then I'm not going to want to open all of them up just to have to repack them if I never use them. You know what I mean?
Good point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and then worst case scenario, I can always bring them back home if I don't end up using any of them and I just do black and gray all weekend. Then I can just bring those all back home and then take them with me to the next show I work at in January. And then boom, they're still sealed, set, and ready to go. Like, no issues, no problems.
Hell yeah. How would you recommend would be the best way to pack dynamic black?
Carefully.
don't do it. Just buy a bottle there.
I would say take a look on Amazon. See if you can find, sometimes Amazon carries dynamic, but they carry small sizes, like little 2 ounces. So I would pick up one of those and bring that with you. Or what you can always do is, if you don't want to bring that with you, you can always pick up a small bottle of black from a different company while you're down at the show. I'll have, you know, a raw pigments black. I'll have a solid ink black. And I think I'm bringing a little bit of allegory as well. So if you want to use one of those, go for it. I find that as much as dynamics become super popular over the past few years, I found that when you look at like healed products, I just don't think it's quite as black as other blacks. And I know that's kind of like splitting hairs, because it's like, which black is the blacker black, right? Because it should all be black.
But it's a great question. It's a, like, I feel like I've been trying to look for the blackest black, and I feel like that's everybody's little quest per se.
Yeah. And I personally feel that a lot of that has to do with personal preference as opposed to viscosity, pigment viscosity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what kind of purpose you're using it for, right? So a lot of people like dynamic because it's extremely fluid, right? And it goes in super easy and smooth. Awesome. Great. And I know artists that still swear by it, you know, for everything. And it's like, that's cool. But if you look around and you're trying to find an alternative, there are plenty of them available, and I can guarantee you they're just as easy to go in, just as easy to use, and will actually heal darker than dynamic. I used to, so back when I was at the Resurrection Island show in West Virginia, I was talking to Elaine Narowski about what she uses for her blacks and what she used to use and what she's using now and all this other stuff. And she was like, you know, I was on the dynamic bandwagon for the longest time, you know, and I swore by it up and down and left and right. And then I ran out one day and didn't have any more on stock, and tried my coworker's allegory, and I haven't touched dynamic since. And I was like, well, why is that? Right? Because if you were an absolute advocate for dynamic for the longest time, why would you just all of a sudden drop it? You know? One thing that was brought up was the viscosity was the same, but allegory actually healed darker and was darker in the skin than dynamic. And that's awesome, right? And I've been tattooed with Dynamic. I've been tattooed with Allegory. I've been tattooed with Silverback, Black 13, Pelican, Talons, Sumi, Liner Black.
Oh, God.
Eternal, Liner Black. You name it. I've probably been tattooed with it. And there is a noticeable difference in the various blacks that are on me. So, I mean, for bulk pricing, I used to use Allegory all the time because you can get the same size bottle of Allegory as you can of Dynamic. So it's going to last you just as long. It's just a different shape. Don't be scared of it. Right. But you know what? I think Allegory actually thins out better than Dynamic. So I don't have to worry about using that for gray washes. And if it was up to me and I was just a purely black and gray artist, all I would bring with me to any convention or any show is just a small bottle of Allegory because that stuff rocks. I did start using the Pitch Black by Raw Pigments, and that's really, really good. I really like it. It's very much like Allegory. I find that it's got a lot of the same consistencies and a lot of the same kind of properties to it. It's just, to me, a different brand. So that's fine. It's not a big deal. But once again, it all comes down to personal preference on pigment viscosity. There are certain brands that I used to swear by that I won't use anymore just because I've realized that certain viscosities are better for my hand speed, for my technique, for, you know, everything. So why would I want to, you know, kind of hinder myself when it comes down to using only one specific thing? But that gets into a whole other philosophy of sponsorships and, you know, getting locked into brand labeling and stuff like that. For those people out there that are sponsored, good for you. Bravo. Hope it's treating you well. And I hope you continue to have that kind of brand loyalty. I don't know that I could ever agree to any kind of a sponsorship. Just because sometimes things change. Sometimes you stumble across a product that you didn't think you would like, that you absolutely love because it works better for your specific technique and your specific style. But maybe you can't use that because you're not sponsored by that company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you find out that, like, you know, a pigment company, and I'm not bringing up the brand, so don't even ask, but maybe there was a massive recall due to mold found in different colored bottles, right? Which has happened. But if you're sponsored by that company, how are you going to go through and just all of a sudden drop them? You know what I mean? Or maybe it's a machine. Maybe you're sponsored by a machine company, right? And that's cool and all. And maybe they haven't come out with anything new except for maybe some new colors of new machines. Which there's one company out there that's notorious for doing instead of actually like giving people what they ask for, you know, in advance. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to get onto that topic because that's a whole different rant. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, a lot of it comes down to, I always want to have the flexibility to be able to go through and try different stuff and use different stuff. And make sure that whatever it is I'm using is going to be best for my client. You know, granted, yeah, every time we try something new, it's going to take there's going to be a learning curve involved for sure. There's no getting around that, you know, but we're tattooers, you know, we adapt. So that's my 2-minute speech on pigments.
It's information that's good to know.
Yeah. Although I did hear one story about a guy back when that actually used to double boil talons.
To make it blacker?
Yeah, to make it blacker. And I'm like, why would you bother?
Right? Yeah, just buy a blacker ink.
Well, it's not so much that, but like there's a lot of work that goes into double boiling and condensing down a black.
Yeah.
And number one, it's hella messy, like incredibly disgustingly messy, and you're going to get shit fucking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You will find black ink everywhere if you do that.
It's like glitter.
Yeah, seriously. You'll find spots of it years later. But it's like, number one, Talons was never really meant to be a tattoo ink to begin with.
No.
And it even says on the label, not for tattooing, right? I mean, not that anyone actually bothered to really give a shit about that, because, I mean, if it works, it works. But, you know, it was designed to be purely for drawing and illustration. Not saying people didn't tattoo with it, but it was black to begin with. Like, why would you need to double? Why would you need to make that any darker? Like, that's just beyond me. You know what I mean? Like, that's something I can't possibly even fathom. Because that to this day is some of the darkest black that I have in my skin. Now, granted, I used to know people that would go through and they would actually cut it. They would cut talons with pelican. And that was pretty common for a while because, you know, pelican was a little bit more fluid, but it wasn't quite as dark. So people would go through and they would be like, okay, well, we'll just mix the two blacks together. And that worked well, you know, because it would cut down on the viscosity and the thickness of pelican. So it would make it a bit more fluid, but I mean, it's still pelican. It's still going to have some toxic, you know, traits to it.
Yeah.
You know, but out of all of the blacks that are out there nowadays, and there are a lot of them, and they all claim to be the blacker black or the blackest black or whatever. Find one that works for you. Play around with it. Get some small trial size bottles of like different companies. Play around with it. You know, have a script or a lettering day at whatever studio you're at, and or you know, throw up a deal on Instagram. Hey, you know, script quotes, you know, $100 for the next week only, right? You know, must be willing to come back after 2 weeks so I can see a healed product. Boom, there you go. And then you can actually do side-by-side comparisons as far as which ones were blacker, which ones did you like, which ones did you not like. I mean, I found some that work for me, but what works for me might not work for everyone. So, but yeah, so that's my answer to wrapping dynamic black.
All right, cool.
The answer is buy a sealed one and take it with you.
The answer is don't do dynamic on planes.
No, it's too much. You don't need to bring a whole 8-ounce bottle of black with you.
True. Oh, that reminds me. I should actually buy, a travel pack. I'm going to do that. I'm going to buy a travel pack.
What color companies are you using?
I was using Eternal and Solid, and I am currently prospecting Raw for switching out. So every time I run out of a color, I'm going over to Raw to find their color match and try it out. I still really like Solid.
I actually picked up
with Raw.
I picked up the travel pack of solid ink, which was available from Saltwater Tattoo Supply, by the way, name drop. That's what I'm bringing with me, along with a couple of my raw pigments. So, but that's only because like raw doesn't really offer a travel bundle. They don't really offer that. Not many companies do nowadays, which sucks.
I was just going to buy a bunch of half ounce ones.
Right.
And, you know, call that my travel pack.
Oh, gotcha.
And just not open it.
So if you were going to do that, I have some color recommendations for you, depending on what your specific palette is like, and what colors you like. Feel free to reach out to me and let me know, and I'll be happy to walk you through what colors I recommend and what colors I prefer. But at the end of the day, you know, if you've got a different color palette, say you like muted blues as opposed to bright blues, right? Well, that's going to be a different color palette than what I'm used than what I'm typically using. So
I think you and I have similar ideas on what we like as far as aesthetics and color.
Truth.
Yeah. So,
well, then think about this, right? I'll have plenty of colors with me. Feel free to dip into mine if you need to.
All right. We could, if it's something you're cool with, just coordinate on what colors we're bringing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the 25 pack of solid coming. Those are all half ounce. And that's like your base primaries and stuff like that. I will tell you this, having worked at that show before plenty of times, there's typically a lot of people down there looking for black and gray style work. So be prepared for that.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, black and gray is pretty timeless. It's also currently very trendy.
Yep. And that's fine.
It's totally fine. I feel like there's one of the reasons for its trendiness is because of a lot of misconceptions people have about color.
Mm-hmm.
Clients all the time that are coming in ask for black and gray because they think that all colors will fade very soon and that they're going to have to get the tattoo redone all the time, like every couple of years. Like a lot of people actually think that every couple of years, if you have a color tattoo, you have to get the whole thing redone and retouched up because it fades that quickly. I know there's a lot of misinformation out there about color fading. Yes, colors can fade, but also that's if you're a fucking sun baby, like hanging out on the beach every day, not using sunscreen and not protecting your tattoos or like, you know, taking care of them.
I still have yellow and orange in this tattoo and it's almost 20 years old.
Yeah.
You can still see it, right? And this is my driving arm. So it's constantly hanging out the window, right?
Yeah.
And that's 20 years old.
Yeah, no, and I've literally had people come in and be all like, no, I've always like, I prefer to do color tattoos, blah, blah, blah. I can do black and gray. And obviously, if that's one thing you want, we'll do it. And I've had people say like, oh yeah, I love color, but I just don't think that I can afford the touch-ups. And I was like, the touch-ups? We probably wouldn't need to do any touch-ups. Like, I'm not gonna screw you over. I'm not trying to give you a bad tattoo. And they're all like, oh yeah, like every couple of years you got to get it touched up because it's like gonna fade. And I'm just like, no, how many people think that?
Yeah, too many.
Yeah,
like people are too afraid many. Because they think it's a huge commitment. I've also had people ask me, how do you get color tattoos? Like, what if it clashes with your outfit?
I have heard that concern.
But that's also something that I'm just like, my outfits are all black.
Yeah.
Nothing's fun.
I have heard that from more clients than I can count. They love color tattoos, but they'll never get them because they don't want whatever color tattoos they get to clash with whatever they decide to wear that day. And it's like, well, it's actually very easy. You have three colors in your, wear only three colors. Wear black, white, and khaki. There you go. Now you don't have to worry about anything.
Well, one of the things is that people are worried about their tattoos not matching their outfits. And sure, some of us might be like, that's vain, whatever. But also, like, I get it. Our appearance does matter to an extent, you know? I have never, as an artist, as someone who is like a judgmental little brat that likes to people watch and be like, ew, because you know, it makes me feel better about myself. That's all a joke, by the way. I've never myself looked at somebody and thought, you know what? They didn't plan their outfit right today. It doesn't look good with that one tattoo they have.
Right.
Nobody thinks that. Nope. So for anybody out there listening, that's all like afraid because they're afraid of like the clashing and everything, I can guarantee you nobody ever thinks about that. And you're also not going to think about that. It's something you think you're going to think about, but you're not. Because I'm covered in color and I do wear colorful outfits from time to time. I have never thought about my tattoos versus my outfits because they're a part of your skin. After a while, you don't even think about them.
Very, very good point. Very good point. You know, but what if I decide to wear my lime green bikini? I don't want to get this purple rose because, like, that would definitely clash with my lime green bikini.
Well, then I'm going to let you know that regardless of your tattoos, you look great in your lime green bikini. Go forth. Wear it freely.
I'm actually going to change up the petals on these roses. Well, on this rose.
I have to start getting ready to go, get ready for work. So I'm going to start heading out.
Okay. Before you go, let me spotlight you. And why don't you go ahead and give us a shout out?
All right. Hi, everybody. My name's Medusa. You can find me at medusaslays.com. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I am happy to be here. Hi, thanks. Okay, bye.
Thank you very much, as always, for jumping in today. Today is going to be a little bit of a shorter session because, you know, life. I'm actually getting new bedroom furniture today, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Which, by the way, anyone out there that's looking for, like, deals on stuff like that, furniture, drawing desks, as much as I don't like to advertise for this company, seriously, go to Facebook Marketplace. There's some great stuff on there for like dirt cheap.
Or free.
Yeah, some of it's free.
People are giving away stuff free all the time.
You know, I just saw a gorgeous antique drafting table on Facebook Marketplace out by where I live for $50.
Nice.
And it had like hand-carved wood legs. It had the old antique crank style elevator.
Yes, that's exactly what I got. A friend of mine is moving and she collects antique and she doesn't have room for her drafting table. And she's like, the only person I could think of that could use it would be you.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that I already have two drafting tables that I work off of both regularly, I keep one more for like painting. Because I like to have that one set up at a slight angle, just for the gravity effect of the water. because I find that that's very, very helpful.
Yeah.
And then the other one I keep usually flat. I use that one more as just like a drawing and drafting desk.
I'm looking forward to having something I can work on bigger projects on.
Right. So depending on the size of the project, one little hack I have about that is, especially if you prefer to work on paper, stretch it out, get a piece of medium density fiber board from like Lowe's, Home Depot, wherever, and soak the paper, staple it down to the board, and then paint on it like you would a canvas. Or find a cheap easel, right, that tilts, mm-hmm. and just have it tilted at whatever angle you need to have it tilted at. Like, it works like a charm. I used to paint like that all the time. I actually did a 20 by 40 watercolor painting as a commission over quarantine for my friend Pat. And it was crazy. I had it stapled down to MDF and I had, you know, a nice size easel to work off of. And I used to just angle that easel and it was great. Worked like a charm.
Yeah, I am currently in the process of turning my basement into an art studio rather than doing all my art from my bedroom. Because my bedroom isn't a bedroom. It's just a studio with a bed in it. Is what it is. There's just art stuff everywhere. There's no room for bedroom stuff. So I'm turning my basement into an art studio.
I think this room for drawing stuff specifically myself. I like having that space. I feel like it brings more peace to the process even.
I would concur. I've got a whole room at my house set up just for art. I've got two decent sized easels set up, two drafting tables, a digital art station, printmaking station, and then like a drop cloth down on part of the floor where, you know, you can basically lean bigger canvases or pieces of paper that are stretched out or whatever. You know, you can lean all of that up against a bookcase and work on whatever size you want and whatever medium you want. You know, I just find personally that it works well for me. But I mean, I understand a lot of people don't have the luxury of, you know, having a whole room just dedicated to art. I was actually thinking for a while about trying to find a larger building, maybe even in Philadelphia, like in Philadelphia proper, and actually converting it into artist studios, like private studio rentals, like for a monthly fee, renting those out and just saying, okay, cool, we'll provide you with a sink and a space. And that's all you really get, but, you know, furnish it however you want, but you can have this as like your own standalone art studio to make whatever art you might want. You know, there's actually a building, and I got the idea from one of my former art professors. He's one of three co-owners of an actual artist studio rental area. And it's this massive building. It's like an old warehouse that they sectioned off and converted into various independent art studios for artists to rent out and create their own artwork.
Nice.
And the dude makes a bundle doing it. But that's what he does. It's like, cool, here's your area. Build whatever you want, put whatever you want in there, bring in whatever you want, you know, make whatever you want. And if you decide to host a gallery show, the bottom floor is actually gallery space. So you can actually go through and submit and host your own gallery exhibition.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
There was, I got a buddy in Louisville where they actually have like a pretty similar type situation where it's a bunch of different like studios and everyone's got their own little thing going on.
So I was actually thinking about doing something similar and having it be more like a large open area, right? And just having basically like an open collaborative art space, right? You know, run out, you know, basically just time at an easel or time at a table and go through and make whatever art you want, you know, in this open collaborative art space, and, you know, just work on whatever you need to work on. You know, we'll provide you with an easel, bring your own brushes, bring your own paints, bring your own surface, but feel free to use whatever you need and however you need to use it to go through and create art. And I always that's thought that awesome would be an idea. Absolutely, yeah, that's what I thought. But after talking to a couple of people about that idea and like the feasibility behind it and like what it would take and all this other stuff, it sounds like a great idea. I don't know if it actually would work out in practicality.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work.
Well, especially because it's like, okay, well, what do you do if you have someone that comes in that rents out the space or rents out an area for, you know, they want this one dedicated area for a month straight, right? But they're only there like a week, right?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do in that kind of a situation? So it's, there's a lot of other tricky things to consider. But, you know, in theory, it's sound. But that actually brings me back to another topic I wanted to bring up and discuss. And that's art exhibitions. I had the privilege to tattoo a pretty prominent photographer not too long ago in the beginning of the week. And I was talking to them about, you know, art exhibitions and exhibiting work and stuff like that. And they were like, they were floored that more tattoo artists don't actually participate in art exhibitions. You know, knowing that we are artists, knowing that we do create art outside of actually applying tattoos. They were absolutely floored when I said most artists don't actually do exhibitions. We don't do, you know, galleried shows or anything. There are some out there that do, more power to them. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them don't. And, you know, I think if we started to really put more work into fine art exhibitions, I think we would really start to notice, not necessarily more growth, but we would start to gain a little bit more recognition as a fine art community.
Yes.
You know, just my own personal philosophy there. Although there is, so in a little town that's right near me, there is actually a gallery that just went up, that just recently went up, that was doing a whole exhibition from local artists, including tattoo artists, and a number of my friends are actually participating in it. And I was kind of jealous of that, to be honest with you. I was like, damn it, why didn't I hear about this before? But yeah, so I will be participating in the next exhibition. But more to be discussed on that.
Yes, you have to keep us updated on that. I'd like to see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was, so I was very privileged to go through and talk with Fast Alley out of Lost and Found Tattoo up in northern New Jersey at the Needle Jig Meetup a couple weeks ago. And she actually has an oil painting up in an exhibition down in, I believe it's Camden. And I can get more information on that if anyone wants to know where that's at. Just send me a DM on Instagram. And I will be happy to pass along that information. But it's a gorgeous oil painting that she did from one of her visits to Philip Liu, which I thought was absolutely profoundly inspiring, just the painting itself. But, you know, just going through and depicting the scene, the whole color choices that she used, her expressive brush strokes. Really, really, really enjoyed the painting. So by all means, feel free to check that one out too. Maybe one day I'll do my own painting off of a meeting with Philip Liu, but who knows? Who knows? Cool. Well, I'm going to go through, now that I've got these sketched out. Let me just do a rough sketch of this guy. I'm going to use these as like watermarks on that tattoo machine painting I've been working on.
That'll look awesome.
Yeah, a couple of like traditional roses in the background. You know, I'll probably just keep it line work. That way I don't detract from anything else. I think the major problem I'm going to have is making sure that the designs are subtle enough in the background that they don't kind of detract from the primary image.
Yeah, you don't want to overpower the tattoo machine.
Right. So I think I'm going to go with like a very, very washed out, diluted sepia tone, just to kind of keep it very neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And then that should give me the depth and the tone that I need to really make it look a bit more like a watermark. But it also kind of gives the whole nostalgic feel behind, you know, the old school coil machine, which is what I'm really trying to go for. Also, I'd like to say rest in peace to Shanghai Kate.
Yes.
We lost another legend in the industry. I won't ever forget, got to meet her and shake her hand 1 year at the Philadelphia convention as she was there with the, remaining members of the Bristol Tattoo Society.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was like an absolutely astounding, gathering of people. This was back when Lyle Tuttle was still around. So Lyle Tuttle was there, Philadelphia wow. Eddie was there, Shanghai Kate was there. And a whole bunch of other absolutely legendary Bowery Stan was there, absolutely legendary tattooers in the industry, all together in one place at the Philadelphia Tattoo Convention. And it was absolutely, I was floored, you know, just to be all surrounded by all of that.
All kinds of awesome stuff happens at the Philadelphia Convention. I try not to miss it.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff that happens there. There's also a lot of like really weird stuff that happens there.
Well, yeah.
Just because, you know, it's Philadelphia. You know, you never really know what your experience is going to be like in Philadelphia.
No, every time I go into Philly, something weird happens.
Yeah. Yep.
Whether it's on the train on the way up or the way back, or it's in Philly itself.
Yeah, but it's always a good time with a lot of really like-minded people. Just be aware of your surroundings, please.
Yes.
Yeah, Philly's fucking gnarly.
Yeah, it can be. Nobody's, is for sure.
Nobody's fucking playing with you when it comes down to it at that point.
No.
In my experience.
Yeah, Philly is definitely one of those places that you kind of have to be on your toes the whole time.
Absolutely. Just like even Chicago, LA, I feel like any big ass city.
Any major city is going to be that way for sure.
I try to go up on a for a trip to one of the museums whenever I can.
Which one's your favorite?
I've spent the night in most of them for various reasons. And I think my favorite is still the Franklin Institute. It just is.
I was going to say, I don't know if I would ever want to spend the night in the Mutter Museum.
Oh, I would. Absolutely.
I think that would just creep me out a little too much.
The only thing that creeps me out is worms and dolls.
Fair enough.
Anything else isn't creepy to me anymore. Those are the only two things that are creepy. I haven't been to the Mutter Museum in forever.
Yeah, stay tuned. I may be, I was tossing around this idea with a couple of people, but I may be doing a guided tour of some of the museums in Philadelphia for tattoo artists coming up this spring.
That would be awesome. I would definitely check that out.
No, of course, we'd hit the Mutter Museum. Actually, I believe it's pronounced Mutter. But
yeah, it is.
We definitely hit that, the Philadelphia Museum of Art, the Rodin Museum, the Barnes Foundation, and a few others as well.
That would be an awesome day. Be an awesome couple days.
I was going to say, what I'm looking at doing would definitely be 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even need a hotel room. I know enough people in Philly, I'd have some place to stay.
See, when it comes down, like in my personal opinion, as much as I would like to, and I've got plenty of people I know that live within Philadelphia city limits and all that stuff that I could easily stay with. To me, there's something about, you know, going through and staying with all of the other people that are attending the event and networking with them up until like the wee hours of the morning. To me, that's just like, that's part of the magic of getting tattooers together.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, even though I live fairly close to Philadelphia, every year for the Philadelphia convention, I always book a hotel room simply because I like to network and I like to be able to be up until Lord knows when at night, you know, talking with people and getting to know people. And especially at the Philadelphia show, where you've got people around you from all over the country. And it's one of the bigger shows in the country. You know, to me, it's just, it's a magical time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took my friend of mine with me to the Atlantic City convention, and she had never been to a convention before. And Atlantic City is really small.
It is.
She was blown a bit away by that. I was like, honey, we're going to Philly in January. You want to see a tattoo convention? I'll show you a tattoo convention.
Right.
Atlantic City is just a little expo.
Yeah, that's a...
And it's a lot of fun. It's a great time.
See, I've actually been getting driven more towards those smaller shows lately, just because I find that they're a bit more personal.
Yeah.
And a bit more intimate, and you can actually like talk with the artists a little bit more. And you can go through and you can network a little bit easier, you know, so I do like that aspect, behind, you know, a lot of these smaller shows that are being put on, which is to me what it originally was about, you know?
Yeah.
Like tattoo conventions in my mind were originally it was like a professional trade show, where artists from all over the country could get together and go and do things with other artists.
Yeah.
And that's what I always, you know, like to remember about tattoo conventions from back when. Not saying that that's not still the way that it is. It's just, you know, some artists will take that on now as more of like a money grab. Some will take that on now more as like a, oh, well, I'm here to win a trophy. You know, I'm here to show off and, you know, forget all these other people. And it's like, that's, if that's all you want out of it, that's cool. But like, I'm trying to grow as an artist. I'm trying to, you know, make more friends and more areas and, you know, really try to develop everything that I'm doing beyond, you know, where I'm currently at. And that means getting out there and networking and talking to other artists, seeing alternate ways of doing things. You know, to me, it's just, to me, that's a lot more of the nature and the community aspect behind being a tattooer.
Yeah. And I've learned so much going to shows just as a spectator. Just, you know, can I sit here and watch you tattoo and ask you questions?
Yeah.
And most tattooers are like, yeah. As long as you're not being annoying.
Yeah, see, that's why I like to book appointments with different artists at shows, especially ones, if they're not from anywhere near me, I want to sit down, I want to get tattooed by that individual, just because that's going to give me an inside look as far as, you know, how do people in different areas of the world do this? What are they using? What techniques are they using? How are they doing it? You know, what's different than what I'm doing? You know, and because you're getting tattooed by him, you have them as a captive audience. So might as well ask them every question you can think of.
I've learned more by going to shows and getting tattooed both than I ever did from my mentors, honestly. I've had more aha moments from tattooers I barely knew than I did from my mentors.
Well, and I think a lot of that aspect comes about because, you know, back in the day, you know, everything was very siloed.
Yes.
You know, it was, this is the way things are done. Don't question anything. Don't look for any other information. You want to learn how to tattoo. This is the definitive way on how to tattoo. You know, this is it. No questions, no comments, no concerns. If you want to know this, this is,
everybody else does it wrong. This is the way to do it.
Exactly. And anyone that gives you any other options, they're full of shit, right?
Literally sounds like both my mentorships.
So happy that shit's starting to change.
Oh, absolutely.
Because even with me being like a new tattooer, I'm like, man, that sounds fucking terrible. And that's half the reason I waited so long to get involved is I was like, I don't want to be in some shit show apprenticeship situation. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through that.
It wasn't easy. You know, and I remember when I was going through my first apprenticeship, man, it was fucking, it's not that I wasn't encouraged to seek out other information because we did have a lot of guest artists that came through the studio. A lot of it was that the artists that I was learning from, the people that were, you know, quote unquote, teaching me how to tattoo, a lot of them didn't know the reasons why. Right. They didn't know the whys. They were just, I don't know. This is the way I do it. This is how it's done. And this is the way you need to do it. And it's like, that's cool and all, but like, why?
Why? Yeah, I'm the same way.
But why does this work?
Why is this the way it is?
Yeah. Why does this work and not, you know, this guy's technique? Why should I use this brand of pigment over this brand? You know? Why is this good and this isn't good? Why is this, you know, tattoo machine better than this one? You know, why? You know, because there's all different types of options out there and no tattooers out there that I've ever met, no two of them ever tattoo the exact same way.
Nope.
You know, everyone's got their own little tricks, their own toolbox that they utilize their tools from. You know, so to me, it's like, well, okay, out of all of the different ways that there are to tattoo, why are you telling me that this is the definitive? Why is this the definitive way to do it? Just because it's what works for you? Or is there an actual, like, legitimate reason behind why this is the definitive way to tattoo? And yeah. Every time I would ask that question, I would be told literally, shut up. Don't ask questions. You should be lucky that you're in this position anyway.
Mm-hmm. I used to get told there's 10 other dudes who would like your position right now. You're lucky we're giving you the mentorship in the first place.
Right. And it's like, well, cool. Fucking bring them on too. You know, that way we can all sit back and be clueless.
Yeah.
Because that works so great at that point.
Well, because that's, you know, the extent at which it was. You know, it was do what I say, not what I do. You know, and you'll be okay. And it's like, I'll be more than happy to do that, but tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
Just explain it. Because, like, you're supposed to be teaching me this shit, and that's cool, and I respect that, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity given to me. I'm just looking for some explanation as far as, like, why does this work? Why is this better than this? What's going on with this? You know? Why is this?
Ask why, and they don't know the answer. You just get an attitude.
Absolutely. But now we're starting to get into a situation where people understand the whys. And that's what I'm really excited for. Because, like, once again, I want to know why. You know, I want to know why is a coil machine better than a rotary? You know, if this is what you're advocating for, why? Tell me why. Give me an answer. Oh, this is just what works for you? Oh, okay. And that's a legitimate answer.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, but if you're not going to sit back and admit that, you know, well, I don't know why this is better than this. This is just what works for me. I will respect that. But if you sit back and you give me an answer like, just shut up and do it this way, it's like, well, I'm sorry, but I don't respect that.
Yeah.
Because that to me is you more or less just admitting that you don't know. And if you don't know, then why the hell are you trying to teach someone? You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's always been something that I've always gotten hung up on is like, there are plenty of people out there offering apprenticeships that don't get it. They don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't know, why are you saying that you can teach someone? You know, why, what gives you not necessarily the right, but what gives you the skills necessary to pass that knowledge on when you don't even know why?
Or I've run into a lot young artists taking on apprentices, like artists that are only 3-4 years in the industry taking on apprentices.
And as like a new tattooer, I couldn't even fucking imagine that. There's so much for...
There's, like, yeah.
There's so much to know.
Well, there's so much to know. There's so much that they have yet to learn through experience, too.
Exactly. But, you know, they think, I'm a tattooer now. I've made it. I can take on an apprentice and I can... You know, now I'm the big guy in charge.
You know, that's fine. You go be the big guy in charge. But you know what? I'll take someone that has 20 plus years experience that can understand the why over what they're trying to teach any day of the week.
Exactly.
You know, you might have all of these awards, all of these accolades, all of this, you know, stuff going on for you. Congratulations. More power to you. But that's not telling me the why. That's not giving me the reasoning behind this. Like, if you're packing color, why are you using that machine that has a longer stroke length than this one that has a shorter stroke length? Explain it. Not that I'm trying to be that guy that's like, making them question everything in their life, but like, explain.
Yeah. Like,
do me that favor and tell me why you're doing this over this, or why you're using this technique over that technique. You know, help me understand this to a deeper level so that I can then apply that, take that knowledge and understand that completely, instead of just saying, oh, well, I don't know, this is just the way that it's always been done. Well, yep. Okay, so that's the way it's always been done, but what if there's a better way? Oh, well, there is no better way. Well, okay, well, then you obviously don't know. Yeah. And I'm going to go over here now because you have shown me that you don't know.
I know enough now to know the tattoo industry is always evolving. There's always a better way.
Well, it is always evolving. That goes without question, without questioning anything. I don't know if there, I would necessarily go through and say that there's a better way, but there's definitely different ways, right? And different techniques and different, you know, materials that are being used now that have never been used before. You know, and the science is expanding and everything is evolving. And that to me is the exciting part of everything. That to me is what I'm really looking forward to the most.
I love that I'm coming up in a chapter of tattooing where less gatekeeping is going on and more spreading of knowledge is happening, such as like, this, for instance, like, this is fucking great. I look forward to this. When I was at the other shop and unable to do it, I was like, this sucks. Because I felt like I was just missing out on shit.
Well, and that's, so that touches on another subject that I'll probably touch on next week, just because I am running out of time today. But we are not gatekeepers. For anyone that's out there watching, we're not gatekeepers. You have a question about how to do something, ask. That's all it takes. But if you don't ask, we don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I've been fortunate enough to really gain some knowledge and see some different approaches with different things in my time. And I'm more than happy to share that information. I just need to know what information to share. Right. And that's why we constantly look for feedback on these shows, because if we don't know what you guys want to see, how are we supposed to go through and provide you with content that you're going to want to watch? You know, I could sit back and give lectures all day long on different lining techniques and why running certain machines slower is going to be more effective at doing, you know, say bold lines, as opposed to running certain machines faster is going to be more effective at doing bold lines. You know, I can sit back and preach on that shit, but I don't know if anyone's going to want to hear it, you know, and if no one's going to want to hear it, why am I going to waste my breath?
Yeah.
You know, but I've taken the time to sit back and try to understand and learn the reasons why, you know, and I can hopefully pretty clearly explain the whys. As far as, you know, through observation, through trial and error, through, you know, whatever methods I have available, I've gotten the chance to try some stuff out and learn some things. And I'm happy to pass that knowledge along. But I don't know what to pass along if no one ever makes any comments. And on that note, folks, we are going to be signing off. So let's go through. Amber, we'll start with you.
Okay.
I'll spotlight you.
I'm Amber Morgane from Mays Landing, New Jersey, and you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook under Amber Morgane.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I always enjoy being here.
Yeah, well, it's always a pleasure to have you here. And Patrick, we'll go to you. So,
my name is Patrick Mackey. I'm down in Destin, Florida. You can find me on Instagram at Brogan Tattoos or my website, brogantattoos.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. And it's
absolutely
real happy to have you back.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back. Seriously, it's something I look forward to. So I got a lot of good work done on this thing today, too.
Hell yeah, bud. Hell yeah.
I think I might actually be able to finish it today. That'd be pretty damn cool.
Well, keep rocking on it, man. Don't let me distract you.
For sure. I'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good. And for those of you that don't know me, my name is Jason Leeser. I host the Sunday afternoon drawing groups, the skill building Sunday drawing groups every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Thank you for tuning in and watching today. Hope you guys learned something. And if you did, go through and, you know, drop a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and follow up with us for next week. If anyone wants to reach out to me or get a hold of me to ask me questions or anything, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at Philly Inc. And I'll be happy to answer whatever questions you might have. So on that note, thanks a lot, everyone. Take care. Keep those hands moving. And I will see you next Sunday at 1 p.m. Cheers.